Pray for our pastor. Pastor Doug is away for 2 weeks, so keep him in prayer. I think they're in Boston this morning trying to attend Park Street Church. So we pray for him and his family this morning as they have a couple of weeks of rest and relaxation. Some of you have asked, why aren't you up there anymore, Fred, doing announcements? And really, I can only think of two reasons. One is Sethian needs practice. Sorry, Sethian. The other is I root for the wrong teams. So that could be. But we're glad you're here this morning, and we trust you'll be blessed as you worship with us. We do have some visitors here this morning. There are many people on vacation for a week or two, but we do have some visitors here this morning. We trust you'll make them feel welcome. And please stay and have a cup of coffee and a dessert afterwards and make yourselves known to us and so we can greet you and visit with you. Remember to pass the fellowship book this morning that starts in the past row. In the last row, pass it forward so we can keep a record of phone numbers and emails and those kind of things. So we're glad you're here to worship with us this morning. Ziggy's here today, and he's going to be filling in for Doug. We're always glad to have Ziggy back, one of our, should I say, older or elder members. He's been around a long time. We share a lot of good times together. He likes the kielbasa, and I like the spaghetti. But we'd love to have Zig here to speak to us this morning. And he's speaking from John 10. If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, John 10, first 21 verses as I read those. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so they may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? We ask God's blessing on the reading of his word as he always does. And now we're going to ask Ziggy to come up and teach us from this passage this morning.
Often said, friend and I, when we get to heaven, we are going to have a good time. Let's put this down here. Keep your Bibles open to John chapter 10. No zingers this morning, Fred. I had a couple, but I'm going to save those for another time, maybe next week. If you'd like to read ahead for next week, we're going to be talking about servanthood. We're talking about servanthood and discipleship these 2 weeks. But next week we're going to be talking about being a doormat. Now, how many Christians would like to be a doormat? None of us. But yet, Jesus Christ says that if we're going to be his followers, we have to act as doormats would. So next week, chapter 13, but today we're in chapter 10. Bev and I continue to be busy. We're on the road just about every Sunday somewhere. The sign on the door says retired. I've told you that before. We are not retired. The day we actually retire, the Lord might just as well take us home, because we continue to stay busy. We're going to die in the saddle. And I hope you do too. If you are a retired Christian and you aren't doing something significant for the Lord Jesus Christ, please do this. Ask him to take you home or get you shaken up so you can do something for him. We have opportunities in retirement that we never had when we were working. And maybe maybe you're not retired, but you're getting near that time. Think about it. Think about what you want to do for the Lord Jesus Christ that you couldn't do before because of time constraints. It may be witnessing, it may be teaching a class, it may be what Bev and I do, go on the road here and there and try to stir people up or whatever it might be. But ask him to get you going in that direction now. Good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this passage of Scripture that reminds us that there is only one door. There aren't many doors. There's only one door. You are that door. There are many voices, but there is only one door. So by your Spirit, speak to us even now. And we'll give you the thanks in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that you could politically correctly pray? Does anyone know that? That's very true. I got this from an old copy of our Daily Bread. The following is representative of the way many people are putting words together today. Listen to this. Y'all listening? God, listen closely. We respectfully petition, request, and entreat that due and adequate provision be made this day and the date hereinafter subscribed for the satisfying of this petitioner's nutritional requirements and for the organizing of such methods as may be deemed necessary and proper to assure the reception by and for said petitioner of such quantities of baked cereal products as shall, in the judgment of the aforesaid petitioners, constitute a sufficient supply thereof. And all that means, somebody said it. Who said it over here? That's right. Give us our daily bread. Oh, Lord, that's all that means. Isn't it true, though, we hear so many words nowadays? You have to have the right political jargon to go along with what you're going to say. Praise God, we don't have to do that from the pulpit, at least not yet anyway, and pray that we never will. Well, we're talking about voices this morning. I'm a little under the weather. Bev and I have been fighting colds. One of our great privileges is taking care of two of our grandchildren for the summer. We take care of them. Mom works, so we have the privilege of taking care of them about anywhere from 10 to 12 hours a day. And Kayla is 10 years old, going on 18. And Dale is 13, reverting back to about 10. So you who have teenagers, you know what I'm talking about, right? But it's a great privilege to be able to live Christ before them. We're not perfect. Man, we make a lot of mistakes, just like you do. But nonetheless, we had an opportunity to send them up to Word of Life for a week, a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Laura Duncan was there that week. And Dale professed faith in Christ. Doesn't come to church. But he signed the card that he wanted to ask Jesus to come into his heart. So his name is Dale, if you pray for him. And Kayla, well, I can see Kayla as one of two things in later life. Either a Florence Nightingale type of person or a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And I keep telling her, brother, one day you're going to be asking her for a job, so you better treat her real good. Voices, that's the title of the message this morning. Isn't it amazing how many voices call to us today? Some even from way out in space through satellite technology. Buy me, sell me, trade up, get down, go here, get rich. On and on it goes. Hundreds of voices hawking everything from property to gold. So much glitz and glamour, so much hype, and yet, above all the noise, one voice stands out above all voices, doesn't he? You listening? Do you hear it? Have to be very quiet. Elijah heard it in 1 Kings 19. In fact, let's go to 1 Kings 19 in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah heard that voice. It's that quiet voice. Elijah heard it. 1 Kings 19. Remember in 1 Kings 18, Elijah has the contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and it was 450-1. How would you like odds like that? 450-1. There's only one thing wrong with that. The 450 had the devil on their side, but the one had God on his side. Who won the contest? Of course God did. 451 makes no difference. Could be 450,000-1. God was on Elijah's side. God helped him to win that contest. The prophets of Baal were destroyed, as it were. And Jezebel hears about it, Ahab's wife. She was a sweetheart. Anyone here name any of their female children Jezebel? Yeah, that's the last name in the world you'd ever want. Jezebel hears about it. She says, you know something, Elijah? Tomorrow about this time, I'm going to make your life just like those life of those prophets that you killed. So what does Elijah do? Now, he just got done with a contest of defeating 450 of the prophets of Baal. And in 19, he runs for his life. Man, isn't that the way it is with us sometimes? We get to that real high spiritual place sometimes where we see great things that God does. And all of a sudden, maybe in the same moment or the very next day or that same day, we drop down to the bottom. And we run for our lives from the things that we need to draw near to. God Himself. Elijah runs for his life. Verse 8, 1 Kings 19, verse 8. Elijah arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there. He ran into a cave. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? The voice of God is speaking to him and saying, Elijah, what are you doing? You're just the one that won the big contest. I helped you to win that. What are you doing here in the cave? He goes on in verse 10. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Jezebel is going to kill me. And you know something? God, I'm the only one left that's serving you. You ever feel like that once in a while? Yeah, wow. Man, I'm the only one that's serving God in my workplace, in my family, on my street. Verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, broken in pieces. Probably some localized tornado that God sent. And the Lord was not in the wind. But after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. In verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. All these displays that God can do and does. But he wasn't there. Look what it says. And after the fire, and at the end of verse 12, a still, small voice. You listen for that voice? I try to. I try to put away a section of time every day where I hope I'm listening to the voice of God speaking to me. by reading in His Word, praying, doing memory verses, trying to do the spiritual disciplines. And it works. And I know for some of you, you don't have those big chunks of time. You can't take an hour or two to have devotional time. Maybe you've only got 5 minutes. Maybe you're rushing off to work or going here and have a million commitments to take care of. I know how it is for some of you. But yet, even in that small piece of time, take time for God. He will speak to you. That voice that's above all voices. Elijah heard the voice of God. And remember that God is not done with you yet. God wasn't done with Elijah yet either. In fact, he was able to name his successor. Elisha was going to replace Elijah. God wasn't done with him. God is not done with you. Maybe you're trying to listen to a still small voice and it just doesn't click. There's nothing that's quite holding on. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to live? Who do you want me to marry? Who do you want me to go out with? Where do you want me to work? And on it goes. But yet God will speak to you in that still small voice. He will. I know He will. God's Word says He will. What does it take to get your attention, my attention? Spiritual light shows, huge crowds, yelling and screaming, dancing in the aisles. What does it take to get your attention and my attention? You know, sometimes we think we have to be where there are thousands of people to feel the presence of God. When all the while, here's the example right here. Elijah was in a cave all by himself. And what did he hear? That still, small voice. Man, I read that scripture. I love that passage of scripture. My wife is smiling. She says, man, I love it too. Scripture says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You know, when you have that urge to run, like we all do at times, and I don't mean run toward God, but run away from God, that's the time we need to be still and be quiet. And just sit down. Let God speak to each one of us. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. How can we discern the truth when so many claim to have it? A man who claims to be Jesus Christ is in Siberia. Did you see that on TV? Bryce and Phyllis are out there now. I told Phyllis, I said, if you run across him, make sure you ask him for his identity. Show me the scars. Show me the wound in the side. There's only one thing wrong with this guy from Siberia. He was a former policeman in Moscow. Found out he could get it. He has a following. He's got his own commune. There are at least dozens of people that are following him. Dresses up in a white robe and travels through Siberia saying, I am Jesus Christ. How wrong that is. Another voice crying out, follow me. Wrong voice. Another voice of deception crying out for our attention. Bev and I were working not too long ago out in our front yard, doing our hedges or grass or something, and I look up the street and here come the Mormons. Do you guys see the Mormons? Yeah, they came. They visit you? Oh yeah, I love it when the Mormons come. I love it when the Jehovah Witnesses come. Man, I get fired up. I said to my wife, I said, hey, here come the Mormons down the street. Hey, guys, come on over. Give you a freeze pop. Let's sit down and talk about things. How you guys doing? I said, well, we're out walking around here. I said, yeah, I see you walking around. How you guys doing? Good? Yeah. So what are you doing? Well, we believe the Bible. Good. I believe the Bible, too. You know where you can get these people? Every time. One way. Is Jesus God? And He is. They don't believe that. Created being, yes, but not God. That's where you can get most of the cults. Is Jesus God? Yes, He is God. They didn't believe that. In fact, I said, well, look, you know, we talk back and forth, and they'd give me some of their Mormon jargon, and I say, that's incorrect. Here's what we believe. And then they say something else, and I say, you know, that's wrong. Let me tell you what I believe. We share some. But I said, look, I'm going to give you guys a couple of tracts. By the name, their names are, they call them elders. I don't understand. The guy's like 21 years old and they call them elders. Kreutzer and Pike. Those are their last names. Mr. Kreutzer and Mr. Pike. Please pray for them. Kreutzer and Pike. Write that down and pray for them. The only way their eyes are going to be open to the truth is through prayer, where Holy Spirit breaks through and teaches them the truth. We shared truth with them. They kept sharing error. They're so indoctrinated, even by age 21 or so, they have one direction they're going in, and that's it. Only God's Spirit can break through and show them what the truth really is. And here's what they left, some of this stuff. You know, you read the first four or five pages. Man, there's nothing wrong with this. This is the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'd look in here and say, yeah, I believe that. I believe that revealed truths are lost as people reject the prophets. I can understand some of that. Jesus organized his church. He called and ordained apostles. No problem with that. But then we get to this part on page 11. It says in here, the restoration of the gospel in 1820, as he had done throughout history, Father in heaven again chose a prophet to restore the gospel and the priesthood to the earth. That prophet's name was Joseph Smith. Oh, really? That's not, it says in Galatians 1:8. It says, anyone comes to you with a doctrine other than what's in this word right here, in your Bible, they are wrong. This is not right. This is not correct. Maybe some of you have been influenced by the Mormons. I mean, they look good. They come down, man, these guys look like they could be all Americans on any team. Smell good, look good, talk good, but they proclaim error. Some of the other things, in 1829, Joseph Smith received the same priesthood authority that Jesus had given to his apostles. Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's not true. The apostleship is done and over with. After he received priesthood authority, Joseph Smith was directed to organize the Church of Jesus Christ again on the earth. There is only one church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not Joseph Smith's church. Listen, don't be deceived by that. Hey, look at you guys. You guys all have smart faces. You're not going to be taken in by that, are you? Of course not. But you pray for them, Kreutzer and Pike. We left. They said, hey, you know, can we come back again? I said, look, guys. I said, we're getting nowhere. You guys are trying to promote your philosophy, and we're trying to tell you the truth in Jesus Christ. We're getting absolutely nowhere. But I want you to remember this. Remember the old guy that talked to you at 61 East Road in Adams and told you that he was going to pray for you until the truth finally came and your eyes were open to what Jesus Christ has for you. Not Mormon doctrine, but the truth of Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Would you pray for them? Don't answer all at once. Is their voice correct? Of course not. How about you and I? Can we truthfully say, as a disciple, as a servant of Jesus Christ, may I show you the correct way? Could you do that? Do you know enough of God's word that you can talk to a Mormon with authority? Sure, we're all scared. They can run rings around you. But that doesn't mean that you and I don't know the truth. We know the truth. Can we tell the truth to them, even though they don't want to hear it? Still, can we do that? Do we know enough of God's word to identify truth in this world filled with sham? Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and what's the rest of it? Sure, the truth is going to make you free, not bond slave to some other philosophy. Free in Jesus. Another scripture that goes along with that as well, John 8:36. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Yeah. Jesus Christ will take away the chains of any religious philosophy other than Jesus Christ. And his is not a religious philosophy. It's the truth. Cows in our backyard hear the truth and they respond to it. We live out in the country a little bit. And our neighbor up the road from us got cows that they have now. Beef cows. So we tell our grandchildren, don't get too attached to the beef cows. You know, one day you're going to go down to McDonald's and look on a dollar menu. We didn't tell them that. But I was thinking that. But the cows respond to the truth. When they first came, Gary, the owner of the cows, would feed them grain. They have grass that they eat out in the field, of course, but he would feed them grain. And they'd be way out in a pasture somewhere. And he'd fill up the grain bin with grain, and he'd holler, "Hey! Hey!" I thought they used to call, "Come, boss." That's what we used to say. "Hey!" All of a sudden, one cow would raise his head. He had 13 of them at the time. Now he has 14 or 15, I guess. They tend to multiply. One would raise his head and start looking toward the bin where the grain is. "Hey!" Two or three more. "Hey!" Four or five. Before you know it, they all had their head up, looking down toward the grain bin. And they'd start walking toward the grain bin. And all of a sudden, one would start running. "Yeah, not going to leave me out, brother." Two more would start running. Three would start running. Four. Before you know it, they're all running down the hill, down to the grain bin. They heard the voice of the truth, and they responded to it. Do you and I do that? Do you and I do that? Do we respond to the truth of what God's Word says? I hope we do. His sons come out. Got one that's in college. The other is probably a high school sophomore. They call for the cows. "Hey!" One cow looks up. "Hey!" Another cow looks up. "Hey!" Third cow doesn't even move. And the other 10 or so never even move. Why? Because they listen to the voice of the master. They don't respond to the kids. The kids can be from the same family, but they respond to the truth of what the master is saying, the owner. Do you and I do that? You know, we can sit here week after week and take it all in. You realize you hear some of the best preaching around right here week after week? You do. You are so blessed. We go to those other places. We know what goes on there. Not much. Let me tell you. But do you respond to the truth? Do you hear the master's voice and do you act on it? You know, it's easy to get up after church and walk out and forget all about it. Are we going to respond to the master's voice? I hope we will. Every week, truth is proclaimed from this pulpit. James says in 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." And here are some good questions that I listed that you can ask yourself. If God's word is important to you. Does the word have more meaning to me this year than last? Has it become more precious? More necessary? That's a good one. Has it become more necessary to you to read God's word this year than it has last? I hope it has. Have I grown to love Jesus Christ more, or has the work become more relevant? Those in Christian work have to be careful. I tell Bev, one of the worst things that can happen to us is learning how to do this, you know, without relying on the Spirit. If we had to rely just on ourselves, we would have been gone a long time ago. We don't have talent. We don't have ability. Our strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And even at times when I think that the Lord is working through us and in us, sometimes it seems like He's not. Because we're still human above all. But He does work through human vessels that are weak. We all have to answer for ourselves. Along with that, we have to each ask ourselves, have we trusted Jesus Christ for our salvation? I don't know many of you. I see you around once in a while. You see me around once in a while. Bev around once in a while. But we don't know what your stand is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you trusted Him for your salvation? Do you know if you were to die tonight, you would be in heaven with Him immediately? No waiting. Do you know that? Are you absolutely sure? Do you know that someday Jesus will not only assure your place in heaven, but will give you a rich, full life filled with Himself? Isn't that what each one of us wants? I hope it is, because it's true. Bev gave me this card. This is so good. It came from David Jeremiah, but I think it's been around for a while. You may be here today and you say, well, you know, I've been thinking about this Jesus stuff, but I don't know. I got to wait. I got so many things to do. I got my whole life ahead of me. That's one thing about being old. You know, you got more days in back of you than you have in front of you. But she gave me this anyway, for those that are waiting. One day, Satan called three apprentices before him and asked, how will you convince people that they don't need to be saved? First one said, I'm going down and tell them there is no God. Satan said, that won't do. They see all of creation around them. Second one said, I'll tell them there's no hell. Satan said, that won't do, for they see all the wickedness in the world. But the third one, he said, I'll go down and tell them there's no hurry. Wow, there's no hurry. You don't have to make a decision for Christ today. You don't have to think about going into the Lord's work somewhere if He's called you. And you keep rejecting that voice and pushing it away and setting it aside. There's no hurry. You know what Satan said? That's absolutely perfect. Go down and tell them. Put that impression in their minds. There's no hurry. You can wait. Don't wait. So many voices, but only one voice says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only one voice says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's only one voice, the voice of Jesus Christ, calling out to each one of us. Ravi Zacharias says, the older you get, the more it takes to fill your heart with wonder. Isn't that true? You know the neat thing about having kids around? They keep you a kid. You know, they go out and they say, hey, Papa, look at those clouds over there. That looks like a dragon with fire coming out of his mouth. And I look up there and I have to really study it for a while. And by the time I study it, you know, it's gone. Something else comes along. And the other one will say, hey, look at that. That looks like a mushroom growing there. Polish people love mushrooms, by the way. Say, yeah, it does look like a mushroom up there. But just the wonder of life itself. And that's what we do when we look in John 10. We see the wonder of one who says, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the voice who says, follow me. One shepherd who calls his flock, you and me, to respond. Will we do it? Hudson Taylor, missionary of another era, said this, there are not two Christs, an easygoing one for easygoing Christians and a suffering, toiling one for exceptional believers. There's only one Christ, one voice, one sheepfold, one shepherd, one doorkeeper, one door. And once you and I enter the door, Christ becomes our chief shepherd. I like that. That's so true. Is He your chief shepherd this morning? Do you get your marching orders, as it were, from Him? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, for you and me, and for each one of us here this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd. There are no other good shepherds. Sure, there are shepherds that lead us astray, But there's only one shepherd who is willing to give his life for the sheep, that each one of us might believe, be saved, and live a fruitful, complete life with him and for him. Lord, if there's one here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may he or she trust you before they leave this place. Maybe some have been rejecting. They're trying to make a life for themselves, make a living as it were, but they've forgotten that you want to give them a different kind of life. Maybe call them into something that they don't even have an idea about right now. Would you impress that on their minds as well, in their hearts? Lord, thank you for this morning. It's been a quiet morning, but it's been good. And we trust that the voice we've heard is that still, small voice that Elijah heard in the cave. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.